Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We back. Another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, we're going to take you back into the world of bare knuckle fighting in the BKFC. This next guest has a very, very inspirational story and is very, very energetic. We're going to bring him on, Marcus Merck Suarez. Merck, what's good,
what's
man?
Up, man? Thank you
appreciate
for having
you
me
coming on, man.
No, I appreciate you guys, man. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you probably don't know. I produced all the Circle of Kings interview you did and the clips for that, you know.
Big Face. Shout out to Big Face,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Shouts out to Big Face, Knuckletown official. They doing their thing, and right now I'm doing my thing. But hey. It's all good. It's all good. It's all love. But you got a really great story. You know, when you did that interview, you brought up something that you were saying, like, was probably a story for another day, but it was the weight loss thing. And I was looking up that you're actually a weight loss coach. I want to kind of start there. What was that journey like? Like, how hard was it really disciplining yourself to transform in your body? And I guess you could say your life in general, right?
Yes. And to tell you the truth, man, sometimes I have lost recollection of what I had to do to lose the weight, you know, because I had to get into the zone. I had to isolate myself. I had to put myself in a hell zone. And a lot of people are not willing to do that. So I lose recollection. Sometimes I have to ask my daughter, what did I do? What did I eat? What did I drink? Did I drink water? You know? But yeah, it's a tough one.
Okay, so you start transforming your body. You're getting in shape. You're looking good. What makes you say, hey, I'm going to go do this bare knuckle thing?
Well, that's the thing, man. I've been training since 2006. I've done MMA. I've been doing this. You know, that's what people need to understand, that I've been doing this. I've been in the game. I know how the game goes. I know how promoters work. I know how all this works. I'm not a newbie. Definitely, I started when there was no amateur fighting. So you just go straight to the pros. You know, and I fought MMA in 2007, 2008, and 2011. My last fight being 2011 ended in a bad knockout. I fought heavyweight, which should not fight heavyweight. It was definitely not in my class. And that set me back years, 10 years at least. And throughout that time, I had to work. I lost everything. I thought my career was over. I would train on and off. You know, I never really let it go completely. But I thought it was kind of, as a career-wise, I was never going to get there. So I started to gain weight. And I lost control, man. The last 4 years, 5 years, it was just overhand, obesity.
Okay. How'd you get into the bare knuckle, though?
Oh, yeah. Super frank. As I'm losing the weight, man, you know, as I'm running, and I see bare knuckle. It's a trending thing popping up, you know, and I see, you know, during COVID, everybody had to stay home, you know, and everybody was watching stuff on the internet and watching stuff on TV, and the hot thing was bare knuckle. And one thing that was pissing me off was a lot of these fighters were having 1, 2, 3, 4 fights, and then were calling themselves pro fighters. And that would kind of tick me off. I was like, man, it takes years to become a fighter, man. You just don't go into a bare knuckle fight and, oh, I'm a pro fighter. No, man, it takes grinding. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of training, a lot of sacrifice. So, and believe it or not, it kind of like put a chip on my shoulder. I'm like, hey, I gotta get up there and show these boys how it's done, man. You know, I really gotta go out there and show them that I've been in this game. This is my world, you know what I'm saying? And here I am today, man.
Now, these guys that you said that you know, we're calling them pros. Were these guys just like coming off the streets, getting in a bare knuckle that never really had any experience before?
Of course, yeah. Man. Look, man, I respect that. That doesn't mean I'm talking crap. I do respect any fighter that steps into the ring because a lot of people won't do that. So I have respect for any fighter. But it was just the part of you can't skip levels. You cannot skip certain people that I've been doing this for years. You cannot skip certain people, and there's levels to these games. So, yeah, there was a lot of that during the whole COVID process. There was a lot of that, you know, oh, I'm going to fight, and now I'm an off-the-street guy. Nah, man, you got to go into your humbleness. You got to go through your lows. You got to go through your downs, your highs. It's this process, you know, there's levels to this.
Okay, what's your typical training look like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I
know you're running every day. You're running every morning. I see that.
I had to pick today to rest. Today was my resting day. Just because tomorrow I don't stop. Tomorrow I have a training session from 10 to 12, straight boxing, and then I do my 4 or 5 miles in the afternoon with my strength and conditioning coach. I do my own workout at home. On Friday, I do the same thing, you know, boxing. Saturday, military pool training. I run every day. Let's just put that. I run every day. Sunday, I do sparring at Iron Fist. Monday, back into the gym on boxing. Tuesday, sparring. Wednesday, running. So it's every day.
This next one is what's this next question I got? What do you consider your greatest strength as a fighter?
Oh man, my greatest strength as a fighter. I know it sounds cliche, but I got that dog in me, man.
Okay.
It's my striking, my boxing. I think if I'm able to display it, I think I bring some of the best boxing in BKFC. You know, and the dog, you gotta have that big, big dog.
So you're gonna be on BKFC 62. I was looking at the card, man. That's a stat card.
Stat
like that. That is because a lot of those guys were fighting at the, I want to say it was 57 or 58 that they had the first, that one they had in Hollywood, Florida. Like a couple fights ago, and it was stacked. The one where El Gallo fought Lopez, I think it was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was Austin Trout and whatnot.
Palomino.
Yeah, he won the belt. Yeah. That, a lot of those guys from that card is fighting on this card again, and there was some monsters on there.
Well, this time, I'm going to be on it. You know what I'm saying? They can't be on the show without Merk on it. You know what I'm saying? Merk is now on the prelims. You know, you got Wanya Reed, you know, which I had the pleasure of being on the card 2 times. This is my 3rd time being on the card with him. The same as D'Amico Lebon. It's like graduating with your colleagues, man. You know what I'm saying? I love it. You got Justin Ebola. You got Chris Garcia. You got G. Perez. You got Sambo. You know, you got a lot of great fighters on this card, man. I'm really excited for the fights with myself.
Yeah, because there was even what's that guy? My first interview I set up. What is his name? Let me see if I can pull his name up real quick. I know he's like, there's a lot. Y'all got a lot of Cubans in the BKFC. I realized that too. And I think it's a title fight. No, that's not. That's the wrong one.
You're talking about Perdomo, Leonardo Perdomo?
What's the other title fights? It's 62?
Oh, you got Alberto Blas. Alberto Blas,
That was the first interview. Yeah, that was the first interview I set up with Circle of Kings, and his first fight I seen, he like knocked a dude out with a 3-piece and did a backflip. I was like, yo, this dude is a badass. He's fighting Richardson. You got Stewart and Duran, Escobaza. I think I'm saying his name right. I mean, he's pretty dope. You got Cutman G back in the mix. I actually think He probably gonna beat Incline. I don't know, man. You got this. What's this, Barella? You got, yeah. This is a stacked card, man. This is a very good card. Now, let's get to your opponent, David Simpson. I know he's only 1-3, but it's BKFC. I mean, that doesn't mean much, right?
No, the record does definitely not speak for him. He's definitely a game bred opponent. He fought Mundell. He has
and Jay Jackson.
Jay Jackson and Wasi. And he has 14 total rounds in the BKFC. So he is a game bred opponent. But hey, I don't look at that. I don't need to look at that. I train really hard with my world class boxing coaches, your Dani D'Espagne and Yusmani D'Espagne. We're always confident in our boxing. And we train for everybody. We train for guys who are 6'6". We train for guys who are 5'5". We train for everybody. And that's just the type of boxing we have.
And you definitely think you know enough about him, right? Because sometimes these guys come in with, like, one fight, or that might be their first fight, and they've been fighting, like, game bred or something. And it's like, how much can you really know about him?
Listen, a lot of fighters stress about the wrong things, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, when my coach personally comes from 387 amateur fights. You know, he's fought Triple G 3 times, you know? When you're in the amateur level, you don't really know who you're fighting across from you. You don't really have time to do any type of homework.
Yeah.
And let me tell you right now, that is the best way to go into a fight. Now, yes, I did my little search. I did my little research. But you cannot fill yourself up with that every day. No, you can't. You can't. I'm confident in my training. I'm confident in my style. I'm a man on a mission. You can't stop me, whoever it is. And yes, this guy has nothing for me. I'm sorry to be like that, but he has nothing for me. This is my game, my territory, my ground. He's here to collect a check and go home.
That's what's up. How do you feel about the current state of BKFC, and what do you think the future is like?
Hey, the future looks bright. The future looks bright, especially with Merck in it. You know what I'm saying? But BKFC definitely is global. It's the fastest growing combat sports I have ever seen, the world has ever seen. David Feldman knows what he's doing. Shout out to Nelson Lopez and Serge, man, for helping me get on and believing me. And BKFC is, I think, give it another year, and it might just be up there with the UFC, you know?
That's what, when I interviewed JR the Lion Ridge, that's what he was saying. Like, he thinks it's going to be as big as UFC, but its own, like, sport. And some people I seen in the comments was kind of pushing back on that. And maybe they were UFC fans, but I was just like, BKFC, when I first got into it, and I'm not going to lie, Big Face got me into it. Shouts out to Josh Chassie. You know, he got our foot into the door with a lot of this. He got our first interview with Bret Hart, and then, you know, Chris Lights Out Lytle right after that. And it's just so exciting. It's so exciting. Even some of the, like, the fights, you don't even really know the names. These fights are exciting. Like the Ryan Rule Reber a few ago, like, this dude was getting his ass whooped, come back and won the match. I mean, I called him to come back.
That was a hell of a fight. That was one hell of a fight. Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was the fight of the night, in my opinion. You know, it's really amazing. I said, once I seen it from day one, I was like, man, this is the modern day American Gladiators.
And I have not met one person. I have not yet met one person who I have invited to these fights. And once they go to these fights, they're like, wow, I should have gone to the previous fights. One of the next ones. So they automatically become a fan of it. And again, There are some MMA fans who are getting tired with the amount of rule setting there is in MMA, and there isn't enough action in MMA. So what's going on is a lot of MMA fans are leaving the sport of watching it just to watch something more exciting. So what's more exciting than Bernacle? You got 2 minutes, you got 5 rounds, you know, you got no gloves, and it's one hell of a fucking banger. You know what I mean?
And boxing ain't looking too good right now either, though. Not like from when I was a kid, pro boxing was like the shit. And compared to now, it's nowhere near what it used to be. And I think that's another thing that BKFC just has prime opportunity to take all those boxing fans. And then, like you said, you got UFC guys. All these MMA guys are getting second careers in BKFC, like Austin Trout. You know, he has his boxing career. Now he comes over BKFC, winning the belt there. It's a whole nother career. And it's exciting because the matches are like this. You don't got to wait, you know, in between matches. Matches over. Get to the next one.
You know, yes, I agree. I agree. Like, again, these matches are fast. I do believe the boxers that have been training for a long more time will stay in the sport. You know, BKFC, what happen is eventually is the people who don't deserve to be fighting and don't – because this is a dangerous sport. Okay, this is a very, very dangerous sport. Fighting, you don't play fight. You don't play boxing. You don't play fight. You don't play bare knuckle. You don't play MMA. So what happened is BKFC gave a lot of opportunity to guys who became, you know, okay, let me see if I can fight, you know, and a lot of these guys will get hurt, man, and they don't belong in the ring. So what was going to happen is the transcending part of it is that the boxers from the boxing world are gonna go jump in to BKFC. Look, we just saw it with a Chacal, with a Cuban boxer, with Rigondeaux, you know? The guy has 384 amateur boxing fights in Cuba, and he's signed with BKFC. So we're gonna see Austin Trout, you know? Angel Towing, which he had the one of the fastest knockouts in BK in Albuquerque. All these guys have 40 plus professional boxing fights, you know? The boxers will take over. It's not about the boxing. It's just the point is that this sport is boxing. And if you can box really good, you're going to beat majority of the time.
And can we admit, like, the females are really entertaining as fuck, like, compared to a lot of these other fights? Like, I remember seeing the Britton Hart when she was fighting the chick, and she was using the B word and everything after. I was like, damn, the women even more, like, entertaining with. They calling each other bitches and all types of shit. Dudes is like, Chris Lights Out Loud will knock a dude out, and he's over there next to him. You know, he's a lifetime firefighter, so he's gonna be like that. But he's over there like, yeah, you okay? Y'all over there shaking hands, hugging. Chicks is like, yo, fuck that bitch.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you something, man. When a woman fights, it's because she was a warrior. She was a warrior, and her ancestors have been warriors. So when you see a woman fight, get out of her way.
Let's see what we got. So how does your mental preparation differ from your physical preparation for a fight?
I have a coach for that. I have a strength and conditioning coach for it that deals specifically for mind training, mental training. Because a lot of this stuff is mental, you know. A lot of people don't know, or they'll let the stress go get over them, and they'll panic, and they don't want to breathe. So I have a coach for that. We work on breathing techniques. We work on strength and conditioning. We work on the weaknesses of the body, so we won't get injured. I have not been injured in over a year. And to deal with the mental aspect, I definitely got to do 3 times a week. And a lot of meditation, and breathing work.
I got to ask this. After what happened to Juggernaut when he broke his arm on that fall, is there anything in the BKFC world, like, where people are trying to watch how they fall at all now because of that? Or is that just like a freak accident, would you say?
That could have been 2 things. All respect to Juggernaut. He is paving the way for a lot of us fighters. But man, he got caught with a nice uppercut that kind of dazed him. And when you fall uncoordinated, you get hurt. And he fell uncoordinated, meaning he got hit with the punch that Mick Terrell gave him. And it's like to say, yeah, you got to learn how to fall, you know. But when you get rocked like that,
not much you can do, right?
Yeah, not much you can do, man.
Like, your last fight, it was what, like 28 seconds first round?
28 seconds first round, yes.
Do you prefer him to just be over that quick? Or
at all?
Or do you get disappointed when it is over that quick?
Oh man, I'll never be disappointed with a win. You know,
yeah.
We can never be disappointed with a win. But I'm a type of fighter that feels the fight out. I see in your eyes that you're scared, and I see in your eyes that I can end this real fast, I'm gonna do that. If I see that you want to fight it out, I'm gonna pick you apart, and then we'll for the fight out. It all depends. I won't know until I'm in front of him. It all depends on how I feel and how I read him and all that.
Yeah, we interviewed somebody. I forgot exactly who it was, and they had a great analogy where they were saying BKFC is different for boxing because boxing, it starts out slow and gets faster. Well, BKFC, it starts out fast and then gets slow. You think that's true? Mm.
Again, boxing does have 10-ounce, 12-ounce, you know, gloves. So there is certain things that you can do. You know, you can hit a different way that your hand, you know. And BKFC, it is boxing, but you do got to do things a lot more faster and a lot more aggressive. Yeah. You know, because it's bare knuckle. Once you land, it's gonna create a hematoma, or it's gonna create some type of a cut. So you got to go do fast. You got to be fast. Boxing, you have multiple rounds too. You have in boxing, you have over 6 rounds, 12 rounds, 10 rounds. So you have the first round. You don't have to go and kill yourself. The first round, you go out there and you know you feel her mouth, the jab, and you go sit down. And you go to the second round. You know. BKFC, you got to go right to work.
Now, I interviewed Scott Lampert. I think he's fighting in Connecticut at 61. And he was saying
that was Drew Nolan's corner in my first fight right here.
Was it?
Scott Lampert was Drew Nolan's corner.
Yeah, so he was saying that he actually went into pro boxing because his whole goal was getting into BKFC from the get-go. I never heard nobody say that. He was saying you either got to be a pro or you go into the prospect series or whatever. You went the prospect series route, right?
Yes, yes.
What was that experience like?
Well, I was the first one of the BKFC prospects history. I was okay. The first one. Yeah, on the first card ever. I got with a lot of good people. Bam Bam, Sambo, Wanya Reed, D'Amico LeBron. Like all these guys were on the prospect series ever, and it was a big ring, it was a nice venue, and we won that fight. It was just a doctor stoppage with the cut.
And so, how many fights did you have to do before you got the first fight, the first like actual official fight?
Again, I have 3 MMA fights, professional.
But just I'm talking about just for the BK prospect series. Like, how many fights did they have you do total?
Just well, I did one prospect series fight, which was on August 24th, and then I did a fight night, a BKFC fight night in Miami on the 15th of March. So yeah, I only did one.
And that's the thing about BKFC; they got so many different. They're like, they're almost like wrestling, like you know WWE with the different, you know, Knuckle Mania fight night. You know, but it's not wrestling, it's actual real,
and that's the vision, though. That's the vision, yeah. I think BKFC wants to have. We want to have a family, of course, it's a violent sport, but we want to have a family oriented athletes. We want role models, we don't want just regular people off the street. We want real fighters that can make an impact in the community, make the impact on the fans, can actually be marketable, you know, and be good, be a good person. We just don't want any thug off the street.
Yeah, I definitely hear every fighter I've interviewed throwing out BKFC family. We're like a family, man. And it's like, even though y'all gonna go in and somebody's probably gonna knock somebody out, y'all gonna shake hands, and it's just like two brothers fighting, right? Like two blood brothers fighting almost.
Personally, if you want to ask for my opinion, I am a contracted modern day gladiator to shed my brother's blood, you know. For real, we're all contracted to shed our brother's blood. We don't want to do it, but it's a job and it's the only thing we know how to do. You know, and that's the way I say it. That's why if I win the crowd, I win my freedom. I won't have to shed my brother's blood anymore.
And one thing that's been crazy for me interviewing BKFC fighters is y'all are some of the nicest people on the planet, man. Y'all really are. Like, man, y'all, takes a lot y'all, of bias, man. Like, I come from a world where we interview a lot of rappers and stuff. They're always late for interviews. The interviews are very dull and boring. They could tend to be assholes. Y'all are just always nice, polite. It's just crazy, like, how nice guys y'all are. But if somebody fucks with y'all, y'all gonna see the other side. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely. I again, you know, even when people try to, like, fight me and try to, like, cause problems, I'm like, yo, I don't even pay mind to them. I don't even post nothing bad on Instagram. When people post me and try to say bad, I don't even respond. I let them eat themselves out. You know, we go through a lot just to get ready for a fight. So why be aggressive with anybody else, man? You know, you got to love your family. You got to love your woman. You got to love your kids. You know, life is short. We're here for a short time, man. And we're here for a second, if you think about it. So, yeah, we're here to do a job. We got to be nice, you know. But fuck with my family and I'm going to eat you up.
I got another question before we get out of here and let you go. What advice would you give a newcomer coming into the BKFC?
Speaking of newcomers, I got Chango Christian Romero fighting in Denver, Colorado, May 31st on the BKFC Prospect Series. He's going to be flying down to Miami and going over there. I work with a lot of amateurs. I work with a lot of newbies. I work with a lot of guys who want to fight. I always tell them, if you don't have to fight, don't fight. Again, this is a very dangerous sport. Okay. Either you're born with it, or you're not born with it. You know what I'm saying? And I know I have been in the hospital. I've had my shares of surgeries, and I've had to reevaluate my whole entire life just because of the fighting game. So I'm always blunt, and I'm always forward, straightforward with my guys, and I tell them how it is. But when they decide to do fight, we go all in. You know what I'm saying? We go all in. We don't leave no stone unturned. We train everything. We run everything. We do everything because that's just the way we go.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So what's that? What's the exact date on that? Your fight is June 21st, right?
Hey, don't miss it. June 21st, man, at the Hard Rock Casino, Hollywood, Florida. This is going to be the most stacked card Hollywood has ever seen. More stacked than February 2nd. So download the BKFC app, man, and go watch your favorite fighter.
Yeah, I can only imagine what it's going to be like. That they selling out every time. I know they had it where they opened up they had the casino open up the top floor, I guess they had to, because they needed this – you know, make a little bit more money, because everybody want to go, man.
Listen, that's all I got left. All I have left is nosebleed seats. And for those who have been at the Hard Rock, the third level of the Hard Rock, you got to see the screen, man, because you can't even see the ring. So I tell my people all the time, get the tickets fast. For right now, all I have is general admission, so that's the top row, third floor.
Yeah, I can only imagine what BKFC is going to look like in 5 years. I mean, if they're selling out 8,000 right now like that, you know, that's crazy, man.
Next spot will be arenas.
Yeah, it makes sense to just, if you're going to sell out these spots, bring it back. And the LA one, I mean, that was crazy.
That was crazy, baby.
Yeah, that was crazy. Before we go, anybody you want to shout out?
Oh, man, I want to shout out all my beautiful sponsors, man. Arcade Time, SoFlow, PRS, Iron Fist, Coach J, my coaches, Iron Boxing 305, your Donnie's and your Yusmani Despagne, Team Pro Body Tech, Gavin. There's just so many people behind me, man, that are, you know, working hard, and I can't thank every single one of them. But thank you all. I love you guys, man. Team Mert, we're going to the top. We're going to make a lot of noise, man, and we're going to fight every fucking state, man. Mm.
Well, I want to thank you personally for coming on here, man. And, you know, after your next fight or anything you want to come on and shout out and promote, man, please do, man. And I'm definitely going to stay tuned for Merc season every season. You know, I'm following you heavy on Instagram. Also, Live from Vietnam, that's also my other podcast, too. So, you know, we're showing you love on that one, too.
You know? Okay, man. I appreciate it. Paul Pickett podcast, man. You already know, get on it or get lost, man. You already know.
Appreciate it, man. Anytime, Merc. Peace. Hey. Well, there you have it. Marcus Merc Suarez. Check him out, BKFC 62, June 21st in Hollywood, Florida, the Hard Rock Cafe and Casino. The card is stacked. I mean, you got three title fights. It's just stacked, man. So stay tuned in. Go to look up Bare Knuckle Championship if y'all don't know about it, BKFC. And stay tuned for another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. And we out.